one religious group teaches that Jesus was a created being. I'm going to read their arguments first and then give you why we do not believe this. The first verse they give is in Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. And it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creations. For by Him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have prominence. And this is their explanation of these verses. Jesus is Jehovah's most precious Son, and for good reason He is called the firstborn of all creation, for He was God's first creation. This group that believes Jesus was created further states, Is the firstborn son equal to God, as some believe? This is not what the Bible teaches. As we noted from the preceding paragraph, the son was created, obviously. Then he had a beginning, where Jehovah God has no beginning or end. John 14:28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And then next they use 1 Corinthians 11:3. To say it proves Jesus was never on equal footing with God the Father. So let's turn there, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of them of every man is Christ, the head of women is men, and the head of Christ is God. When they go to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, this group has changed this in their Bible translation to say the Word was a God and change the word God from starting with a capital to denote holiness to a little g as in common God. Their teaching is a misunderstanding of the scriptures. Christ is not the first to be created, but rather the first in preeminence over creation, with others to be added. We will now go through the scriptures to contradict their teaching. To start with, the scripture states, He was made a little lower for a little while than even the angels physically. If you turn to Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. No one would say this means that the angels were ever in charge or greater than Jesus. This is from a study paper by Mrs. Tina Engelbart. The word as head in 1 Corinthians 11:3 is the Greek word for kephale. That's just a guess. This word can mean a physical body's head as well as source. It does not carry the meaning over or in charge of. It means starting point or life source. Christ is the life source of men because He created him. Man is the life source of women because she was taken out of his side. And God was the life source of the human Jesus. the Father in heaven was greater than the human Jesus. Jesus was physical and subject to death at that time. Other Greek words are used to mean the chain in charge or to be over, but never the word kaphale in that context. From an article by Scott Ashley in Beyond Today magazine, this is from November 2016. So who and what did Jesus claim to be? He made his boldest assertion about his identity in John 8:58 in one of his many debates with those who opposed him. He stated, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In English, this appears confusing, but Jesus was speaking Aramaic or Hebrew, and those listening understood that he was making a claim that immediately led them to try to kill him. What did this mean? What did Jesus say that made them want to stone him to death for blasphemy? Abraham had lived some 2,000 years earlier. Jesus was saying not only that he existed before Abraham, but also that he was the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was revealing his true identity, that he was the being whom the Jews knew and worshipped as God in the Old Testament period. A while after Abraham, when the great God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, Moses asked God what his name was. "I am who I am," was the reply. "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." When Jesus startled them by saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," the Jews understood exactly what he meant. Then they took up stones to throw at him. John 8:59, they wanted to kill him because in their minds he was guilty of blasphemy for claiming to be God. When Jesus claimed to be I am, he was saying that he was the God who revealed himself to Moses and who said his name was I am. The Jews understood exactly who and what Jesus claimed to be, the one whom their nation worshipped as the God of Israel. John 5:18, because of this, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he is also calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. John 10:33, we are not stoning you for any good work, said the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you are a man, declare yourself to be God. And then in Philippians 2:6, English Standard Version, who thought he was in the form of God, but did not comply with God, a thing to be grasped. And also in John 17:5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. All states that he has obviously always been here. How could he be created being when it clearly states that all things were created through him and for him? Did he create himself? Dr. Norman Gessler comments, the context of this passage makes it clear that there are no exceptions. Christ is the creator of all things, including angels and everything visible or invisible. Nowhere is there made more clear that Christ was not a creature, angelic or otherwise, than in the relationship of angels to him. Since Christ could not be both the creator of everything and at the same time a creature himself, it is necessary to conclude that he himself, the uncreated creator of all creations. How did the Apostle Paul address who Jesus was? He said, he was called a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and then makes clear who Melchizedek really was. In Hebrews 5:6, he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." This is quoting Psalm 110:4. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Paul made sure in his letter to the Hebrews that they understood exactly who and what Jesus was. If you turn to Hebrews 7, start verse 1. Be going to 25. I'll be reading this from the Easy Reading Version. It said, "Melchizedek was the king of Salem and a priest for God of the Most High. He met Abraham when Abraham was coming back after defeating the kings. That day Melchizedek blessed him. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he had. The name Melchizedek, king of Salem, had two meanings. First, Melchizedek means king of justice, and the king of Salem means king of peace. No one knows who his father or mother was or where he came from, and no one knows when he was born or when he died. Melchizedek is like the Son of God, and that he will always be a priest." You can see that Melchizedek was very great. Abraham and our great ancestor, gave him a tenth of everything he won in battle. Now the law says that those from the tribe of Levi who become priests must get a tenth from their own people, even though they and their people are both from the family of Abraham. Melchizedek was not even from the tribe of Levi, but Abraham gave him a tenth of what he had, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham, the one who had God's promises. And everyone knows that the more important person always blesses the less important person. Those priests got a tenth, but they are only men who live and then die. But Melchizedek, who got a tenth from Abraham, continues to live. As the scriptures say, now those from the family of Levi are the ones who get a tenth from the people. But we can say that when Abraham paid Melchizedek a tenth, then Levi also paid it. Levi is not yet born, but he had already existed in his ancestor Abraham when Melchizedek met him. The people were given the law under the system of priests from the tribe of Levi, but no one could be made spiritually perfect through that system of priests. So there was a need for another priest to come, I mean a priest like Melchizedek, not Aaron. And when a different kind of priest comes, then the law must be changed too. We are talking about the Lord Christ, who belonged to a different tribe. No one from that tribe ever served as a priest at the altar. It is clear that Christ came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses said nothing about priests belonging to that tribe. And these things became even clearer when we see that another priest has come who is like Melchizedek. He was made a priest, but not because he meant the requirement of being born to the right family. He became a priest by the power of a life that will never end. This is what the scriptures say about him. You are a priest forever, the kind of priest Melchizedek was. The old ruler is now ended because it is weak and worthless. The law of Moses could not make anything perfect. But now a better hope has been given to us, and with that hope, we can come near to God. Also, it is important that God made a promise with an oath when he made Jesus high priest. When these other men became priests, there was no oath. But Christ became a priest with God's oath. God said to him, the Lord has made a promise with an oath and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. So this means that Jesus is the guarantee of the better agreement from God to his people. Also, when one of these other priests died, he could not continue being a priest. So there were many of those priests, but Jesus lives forever. He will never stop serving as a priest. So Christ can save those who came to God through him. Christ can do this forever because he always lives and is ready to help people when they come before God. In Micah 5:2, we find a prophecy of Jesus. But through Bethlehem Ephratah, through thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from the old everlasting. This prophecy of the Messiah says he's been everlasting. For means of days or times, and then everlasting means of unknown duration or ancient of days. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let us make man. Was he schizophrenic, or was there more than one? The word used here for God, Elohim, is plural. So when speaking of Christ, it could not have meant an angel, a created being, because man created in the image of God is to end up greater than the angels. Our destinies and our aptitudes are not the same. Hebrews 1:5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This clearly shows this was never said to an angel. Jesus permitted people to worship him. Matthew 15:9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Mark 1:21-24. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as one of the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we done with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. In Mark 5:6, Jesus did not rebuke the demon-possessed man who ran from afar and worshipped him. The fallen angel knew exactly who Jesus was. If you turn to Revelation 19:10, Revelation 19, verse 10. It says, "And I fell on my feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This was the response of an angel to the Apostle John, who sought to worship him. Writing of ancient Israel's sojourn in the wilderness after the Exodus, the Apostle Paul states that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 10:4. So, these days represent the sacrifice of Jesus and how he was the only sacrifice great enough to cover the sins of mankind, teaching that he was a created angel turned creator takes away from just how great his sacrifice was and masks what our potential is. Jesus, who had always existed, allowed himself to cease to exist for 3 days and three nights. The God we were introduced to in the Old Testament had all the power and glory at his command, and yet he washed the feet of the disciples and allowed himself to become our sacrificial lamb. One final scripture, if you'll turn to 1 John 2:2. "And he is a propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world."